This is the complete interview with Craig Ballantyne, creator of Turbulence Training and owner of TurbulenceTraining.com and WorkoutManuals.com. This interview was featured in episodes 2 and 3 of the Fitcast. For more information, visit Craig's sites and thefitcast.com. This week's interview is with Craig Ballantyne. And Craig, should we just get it started?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll start with question one. These questions were brought to you by some listeners of the show and some of the posters from JP Fitness forums. So we'll just get started. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I went to University of McMaster in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I did an exercise physiology postgraduate degree, so I have a master's of science. And at McMaster, I work quite heavily with the rugby team. We have some players on that team that are on the Canadian national team. That's about the extent of the elite athletes that I work with. And then in 2000, I started writing for Men's Health because I had my original newsletter on CB Athletics that I started in 1999. I sent that to Lou Schuler in 2000. He liked it. It was in line with his philosophy at the time, his changing philosophy on training. So I've been in with those guys pretty well since 2000, jumping back and forth to Men's Fitness. That's where I am right now, writing mostly for them, but also for a Canadian magazine called Maximum Fitness, which I do a main workout for in every one of their issues, which is every other month. So most of my stuff now is in Maximum Fitness and Men's Fitness, and I do have a workout coming out in August of 2006 in Men's Fitness. I think we called it Last Chance for Summer Abs, so that'll be a good one to look forward to. At McMaster, like I said, I did a kinesiology degree first in undergraduate with some very, very good professors there. If someone looks through their exercise physiology textbook, they'll come across a lot of the professors are quoted and they're highly regarded research studies in there from McMaster. So I had a chance to learn from some really, really smart guys, some guys that have been around for a long time. And, I think the biggest thing for me is that I learned the basics and the foundations in undergraduate kinesiology. And from that, if you know your foundations, and this I'll probably talk about this later on, if you know your foundations, then you can take a look at a training method or training exercise and immediately judge whether it's worthwhile or whether it has value or whether it's just a fad or whether it's, time wasted or it's time well spent. And that's, one of the things that I think is missing for most people in the industry right now is that they just don't have the foundations, and therefore their training programs just aren't as good as they could be and contain a lot of stuff that, is irrelevant to the training goals of the people. But after the undergraduate degree, I did a master's degree in exercise physiology. We did some supplementation studies. We published some papers on that, some interesting stuff. We did androstenedione, we did creatine. You can look at my research studies up on PubMed if anybody's interested. And I did a training study to finish my thesis where we looked to see if endurance training robbed normal healthy males of their power after doing a long endurance training study. And the results were kind of mixed. We didn't really come up with anything groundbreaking. So that pretty much sums up my studies, where I went to school, and just a bit of my background right now.
I'm really glad that you could go that in depth on it, and it really gives some of the listeners out there who are actually studying to be athletic trainers or go into some sort of that field, really gives them a grasp of what they're going to be looking at going through college and post-grad. But let's get started with the listener questions. The first question, what were your motivations to become a personal trainer?
Going way, way back in the day, I think around 16, I started lifting weights, started reading lots of magazines, muscle magazines, and I think at that point it was somewhere along the line I must have found an article on strength and conditioning coaches in there, and that's what I wanted to do from about the age of 16. So I went to university with that goal. With the goal specifically of being a strength coach in the NHL. Along the way, I researched and saw that everybody had a CSCS and had a Master's of Science degree. Pretty much almost every single strength coach in the NHL had those two designations. So I continued along that route, and those were my motivations at that time. And along the way, I've worked with some, like I said, some elite athletes, but it hasn't been my bread and butter. And while I have some good friends that are in the NHL strength coach position right now, it's probably not something I'm going to end up doing. Along the way, I got in with Men's Health, and I realized that I really liked the writing and the research and passing along the information. So along the way, the motivations changed to disseminating information on helping people improve their health and fitness and gain muscle mass and get stronger, and basically to help eliminate the garbage and give people the straight goods, because there is a lot of there's a lot of information out there. But the one point that I want to get through to people, and I'll go over this again a couple of times, is that this is not rocket science, and it's a very, very simple thing. We all know what to do. We all know what to eat. We all know that you have to do certain training methods to gain mass. You want to lift heavy weights. You want to lift. You want to eat extra food if you want to lose body fat. You know, you can't eat as much food, but this is where it gets a little tricky about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. But I mean, you also just realize that if you eat whole, healthy, natural foods, then that's the type of stuff that's going to help people lose body fat. So that's the type of information I wanted to get out there. That was my motivation. I was sick of seeing people spinning their wheels and getting nowhere. You know, from family members on through friends, and then it just over time, as I got more educated and I put more of this stuff out into emails to friends, that I just decided, hey, let's package this up and get this stuff out to people in more of a larger market. So I wanted everyone to understand to keep things as simple as possible. And, you know, the three words that would describe my stuff is simplicity, efficiency, and effectiveness. That's another thing, aside from being as simple as possible, in this day and age, most people need it as quick as possible. So my motivations are to get the information out there that's going to help people make changes in their life, and they're just going to see how simple it can be, and easy and time efficient to do it, because a lot of people are intimidated by what they think is going to be radical lifestyle changes and excessive demands on their time to be very healthy and very fit. But it's not. It's not. It's, and, you know, once you get into the lifestyle, then it's very rewarding for me to see friends and family and clients, you know, make that change, and all of a sudden they wouldn't think of, you know, drinking 2 liters of pop a day, which is one of my best friends used to do that every day. It's kind of funny at the time, but now he is absolutely my golden boy when it comes to being a successful lifestyle transformation. So that type of stuff, once you get somebody to buy into it, to see how easy it is, then it just becomes their lifestyle. And I mean, if we can get a few more people each week on this type of lifestyle, and you know, it not only will it improve their health, but I mean, they'll work better, they'll think better, you know, everything's just going to be better. And you know, you can have your pizza once a week and that sort of stuff. And so again, just being simple, making it efficient, making it effective, and showing people it's not rocket science and it doesn't need to be intimidating.
Yeah, I think that's what's so great about some of your stuff, is it just cuts to the chase, no BS, and it's really just simple, easy to understand, and it's really straightforward. And I think that's, in my view, why some of your material is so successful. And that's just kind of...
Well, thank you for that. And when you see my material, it's pretty much bullet point. I mean, I could write chapters with mm-hmm. cute little introductions and make a novel out of it, but I mean, most people don't have time to read the entire book anyways when they buy a health and fitness book. So let's get right to it. I mean, here are the 10 things you need to do. Here are the 25 nutrition tips you need to follow. Here are the workout guidelines. Do this, 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 and this. I mean, I'll admit it, intermittent training can get a tiny bit confusing if you're new to the superset stuff. But once you understand what's going on, it's step by step. Do this, do this, do this, do this, rest this long, eat this and this and this. Avoid this stuff at all costs. Here's something you can have once in a while, and boom, that's your lifestyle. Get it done. 3 sessions a week, 45 minutes mm-hmm. a session. Off days, enjoy, do something you enjoy. I mean, that's one thing that people neglect in their fitness programs, is that it doesn't have to be on a machine in a gym somewhere staring at the wall. It can be out in the park. I mean, this time of year, it's raining today, but I mean, out in the park from April through November for people up here in Canada. I mean, do it as much as you can and enjoy a healthy fitness lifestyle. So try and keep people out of the gym as much as possible, and just making it, again, as simple as possible.
All right, sounds good. I think we should get going on to the second question. And that is, how would someone put together a long-term training plan, possibly year-long, using the Turbulence Training Workout Programs? This is assuming an average person who is not very overweight and wants to be strong and lean. And some of the books that this listener has read, they all have structured programs with some sort of periodization. But I have not seen a lot of this mentioning in the Turbulence Training manuals.
Well, that goes back to my simplicity principle. I mean, I'm trying to keep this unnecessary mumbo-jumbo out of my work. And, I mean, periodization is something to peak for a certain event or a mini-season. There's a lot of people that read fitness and have information overload and are throwing around terms that I don't even use, that I don't find necessary. So, you know, just simplify it. If somebody wants to get strong and lean, you have to take a look at every individual on an individual basis and figure out, well, if they want to get strong and lean, what are they right now? Are they strong? Are they lean? Are they fat? Are they weak? If they're fat and weak, well, it's very simple. You're just going to do a progressive planned workout system from beginner to advanced with off weeks planned in for recovery. And that is periodization. Planned workouts are simply periodization. And that's what the Turbulence Training Programs do. I mean, if you're a beginner, you start at the beginning. If you're intermediate, you start in the intermediate, and you progress. Each one is progressively more difficult and more effective. And so you would just take a look at this individual, and if it's strength is the first thing that needs, is the thing that is the biggest weakness, that's what you do. You attack the biggest weakness first, and you just progressively take out all the other weaknesses along the way. But you focus on one thing at a time. But, you know, as far as talking about periodization, my manuals and stuff, I just don't think it really needs to have that kind of scientific information in there. I just don't use the phrase because now we're starting to make it sound like rocket science, which, again, it's not. You just take a look simply at what's needed. You address what's needed in the program. Next time, training program, you know, like I said, change it every 4 weeks. Next time you need to change it, again, reevaluate the situation, reevaluate the nutrition, reevaluate the training, reevaluate the results, and then change it. And technically that's periodization, especially if you have an exact goal of when you want to be strong and lean by. But most people just want to lose body fat and gain muscle that use my system. So, I mean, it's not like they're peaking for Memorial Day. I mean, mm-hmm. Some people might be, but most people aren't. So just it's planned progressive workouts and, you know, easily able to adapt the Turbulence Training System to anything that you want to do.
Awesome. I think that pretty much covers it. Right now we're going to go into a couple questions that have to do with our roundtable discussion this week, and that is body weight workouts and body weight training. The first question regarding this is, in body weight training, it seems like in order to achieve a high level of turbulence, one has to use higher reps. Does this contradict the principles in the Turbulence Training for Fat Loss program that one should use moderately heavy weight and with 6 to 8 reps? And in the long run, how should body weight training mix with free weight training?
Okay, so first of all, we're taking a look at, you know, does the body weight training contradict the 6 to 8 reps? Technically, yes and no, because body weight training is two things. One, it's obviously strength training, but at the same time, it's also a form of interval cardiovascular conditioning. So if we take a look at interval training and running is simply just nothing but the most popular form of body weight training. So we're just substituting in some of the body weight training for the, I mean, you get some turbulence metabolism boosting effect from interval training, you get the same thing from the body weight training. And then eventually, the body weight training exercises will work up to something that can only be done 6 to 8 times. But it's just a matter of the fact that most of these exercises demand a lot of coordination. So example, you know, it's not until you're advanced at body weight exercises where you can do stuff that's only going to take 6 to 8 reps, such as chin-ups, pull-ups, single leg squatting, partner assisted glute ham raises. I mean, there's very few exercises that a really strong person could bodyweight exercises that a really strong person would only be able to do 6 to 8 times. But because they can be used in almost an interval-like manner, then you're still getting your metabolism boosting effect. So it's not the exact same as using heavy weights, but it's still giving a very consistent result in boosting metabolism. And, you know, boosting metabolism is just one of the terms that I use interchangeably with the word turbulence in my manuals. So in the long run, how should the body weight training mix with free weight training? Well, you know, that does depend on the individual goals of the person. But there's two things you can do, especially this is great for women, is alternate between free weight workouts and body weight workouts, because that helps alleviate some of the concern that they're going to add too much body mass, you know, without talking about whether or not they can in the first place. And also you can do hybrid workouts where you start the workout with free weight exercises and then finish with body weight exercises, or you may alternate dumbbell exercises and body weight exercises in a fat loss program. There's all sorts of ways you can use it. It just depends on what the person wants. Body weight exercises, there should be some in everybody's workout, and that should be in the warm-up, because in the mobility that you're going to get from body weight exercises, great way to prepare the body overall for the free weight exercises that you may follow up with. So instead of, you know, doing 5 to 10 minutes or 15 minutes on a bike, someone's much better off to be doing bodyweight squats, forward lunges with a bit of a static hold at the bottom to stretch your hip flexor area, any type of push-up, you know, if you can do kneeling push-ups, incline push-ups if you're a beginner to push-ups, just getting a better sense of total body coordination with the bodyweight exercises. So that's why they should always be in every workout. And then from there, you just decide, well, where do they fit in my plan? If I'm trying to become the next Ronnie Coleman, there's not going to be a whole lot of body weight exercises in my workout, you know, with the exception of chin-ups and dips if my body weight is enough to give me 6 or 8 reps. So if you're in fat loss mode, though, body weight exercises are going to be sprinkled in all over. You might even be doing only body weight exercises because that fits your lifestyle. You don't have time to go to the gym, or you have no interest in going to the gym. A lot of people have no interest in going to the gym. So body weight exercises can be all over the place. And for athletes, they really should be in there as well for a lot of mobility work. And like I said, they can be sprinkled in all sorts of different ways, whether you alternate between workouts of free weights and body weight, or whether you alternate body weight and free weight exercises within one, or whether you do free weight exercises first, get your strength, absolute strength training done, and then follow it up with body weight relative strength during exercises to finish it off. So that's how you can mix that up.
Craig, would you recommend doing a body weight cardio after a turbulent training weightlifting workout, or would you only recommend doing the body weight workouts on the off days?
No, you can certainly do the body weight interval training workout at the end, right after the weight training. Again, it's going to depend on the entire structure of the workout. But if you did, say you did 4 or 6 weight training exercises, so 2 or 3 supersets, and then you finished with 15 minutes of body weight circuits, or however you structure it, you could do it that way. When you use body weight training in circuits, or when you use it on an off day for recovery, it all comes down to the relative difficulty of the exercise. So a beginner is not going to do single leg squats on the recovery day. They're going to use double leg lying hip extensions. But there's going to be an exercise in there which is recovery level, generally, for most people, with the exception of absolute sedentary obese individuals or really overweight or really weak individuals who really wouldn't be able to do any body weight training on off days because it would be a real workout. But, you know, you can do body weight squats. Almost any average fitness person can do body weight squats on their off days and not suffer excess fatigue or soreness. So that would be a type of exercise they would use on recovery day, or they would use that in their interval circuit stuff. So it's just a relative, you know, intensity question, you know, finding the right exercise that fits where you're trying to use it.
That's great. I think we should head on to the next question. Again, it's regarding bodyweight training, and it's kind of a little bit of what you went over earlier in the last question. Bodyweight workouts for muscle building for an experienced lifter, would this be something that you'd recommend? For example, someone who has been lifting for a year or more, has a medium build, and is looking to put on muscle and lean out. I know you talked about this in an email, I think in the previous week, about someone who put on some muscle doing just bodyweight workouts. Is that something you'd recommend for someone?
Well, you just have to look at the individual in each case if the person wants to put on muscle mass with bodyweight exercises. And for certain individuals, it's going to be possible, you know, with their genetic profile, whereas there's other individuals that are going to have a, you know, less genetic chance of gaining muscle mass. So they're probably going to need to use a lot more weighted exercises. But with advanced bodyweight upper body exercises for sure, like dips, chin-ups, and pull-ups. You cannot add body mass, of course. You'll have to eat more and use the more advanced exercises when possible, like the towel grip versions of pull-ups and chin-ups and bodyweight rows. And single-leg exercises will help add some mass to the lower body. But mostly your chances of gaining mass are with upper body bodyweight exercises. But again, there's some people that are going to respond better, and you know, people that would be considered, you know, very thin individuals are probably going to need to add exercises like squats and bench presses. I mean, nobody should expect to step on stage and win Mr. Olympia, but and it's not going to be a skinny guy's ticket to mass. But you know, it will be enough to maintain some muscle or build some muscle in some guys.
That's good. I mean, I really think that it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, especially with you look into squats and all that stuff. And I personally tried some of the body weight workouts in the last couple of weeks, and damn, they kill you. And the next day I was sore from body weight workouts, especially even in my upper body, and it surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, people can get sore from the new stimulus, and it'll work for a while, but long term, you know, it's only going to really put some mass on a few people, and then the skinnier guy's going to have to go into the weight room.
That's great. And again, on the next question, we're going to be going into some more on the bodyweight workouts. The listener was wondering, what was your take on using bodyweight exercises as a recovery method? Would you do a workout from the Turbulence Training bodyweight manual, just picking a random one, or would you set up just a strict bodyweight workout that was for the recovery?
I would start, you know, for the average individual with fitness, they should be able to do recovery workout, starting with maybe the preparation phase of the 6-month bodyweight manual. Mm-hmm. Again, it all comes down to the relative ease of exercise. For some people, bodyweight squats should be a recovery type exercise. I mean, if you can do, guys should be able to do 100 or 200 bodyweight squats. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is a recovery level of intensity. I mean, they shouldn't do 100 and 200 in a row for recovery, but you know, they should do sets of 20, and that would be recovery level. Whereas people that are, you know, doing 20 with difficulty, 20 bodyweight squats, then they're going to have to decrease the difficulty of the exercise, maybe down to a double leg hip bridge, lying down on the ground, or just double leg ball curls, that type of stuff. So it's all just, you know, the level of intensity is relative to what's going to be a recovery workout. So for most people, if they started with the average fitness level, if they started with the preparation phase of the 6-month manual, give that a shot. That should be recovery. I mean, they should get a bit of a sweat on, and they should increase the blood flow to the muscles, and that's the purpose of a recovery workout, to increase the blood flow to the muscles so that you increase your rebuilding and repair processes. But again, for some people, a recovery bodyweight workout is just not going to work because, you know, if they're sedentary, if they're overweight, then any bodyweight workout is going to be a workout. Mm-hmm. And so that they would, light walking might be their best thing, or using the foam roller, they're better off doing that. Or even some of the dynamic flexibility stuff, going through the dynamic flexibility type stretching, would be better off than doing, you know, actually bodyweight squats or anything like that for a recovery workout. But everyone would benefit from that dynamic flexibility stuff in the recovery workout in their off days.
That's great. That's great. I thought we should end with the bodyweight discussion. I know it's kind of a hot topic as of late. I know you kind of helped with that with your new Turbulence Training bodyweight manual. And also Alwyn Cosgrove is... had a workout come out, and I think it's really starting. Do you think that the bodyweight workouts is really starting to kind of explode, or is that something that's been around
for? I don't know if it's coincidence or what, but I mean, it seems like everybody has seemed to have come out with a bodyweight type training program. There's quite a few guys that with some bodyweight stuff now, and it just seems like it all came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really wish I would have done it quite a few years ago, because the interest and necessity is there for quite a few people, because that's their only workout opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people work out at home, or a lot of people want something that they don't need to go to the gym for. And it's really a needed that an area that needed to be addressed, and that's why I came up with mine. And mine, you know, if somebody has other ones, they'll notice that mine is a is an athletic movement type, mobility based, body weight focus. I mean, there's exercises in there that aren't going to be in other people's workouts, and it's just a lot of movement stuff. And by the end, you should be a very mobile person with the body weight stuff that I've put out. The same with Alan's stuff as well.
I thought we'd jump into a new article that you had up for the All Access Pass people, and that's the Hot Zone Training Manual. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about the Hot Zone Training idea and also elaborate it for people who have read it and kind of just want a little bit more in-depth explanation about it.
Yeah, this is just me simplifying training even more. So when I call things hot zones, this is how I just look at it. A workout when I'm, you know, total body workout, what does it need to address? And I've labeled four hot zones in the body. You need to address the upper back. You need to address the upper body pressing muscles at the front of the body, the abdominals and the posterior, and then the posterior chain. If you address exercises for each one of those four hot zones, you're going to train your entire body, because you can't train the muscles of the lower body, the back, the posterior chain, without getting your quadriceps. You don't have to focus an exercise on the quadriceps. You know, maybe with the exception of partner-assisted glute ham raises. But, you know, if you're doing exercise like Romanian deadlift, even that isometric contraction, the quadriceps is going to help. If you're doing an exercise like wide stance squatting, sitting back, and that exercise is really for the posterior chain, but you're not, your quads are getting a lot of work. So that's one hot zone. If you hit the posterior chain hot zone, you train pretty much the entire lower body. The upper back, that's an area that needs to be trained, not the lats. It's not the lats that need to be trained, because they'll get trained in almost any upper back exercise. So you need to focus on the scapular retraction movement, like the rowing exercise, and there you train the hot zone of the upper back. So it's just simple. It's just like showing you, here's four things that if you have only 15 minutes, train exercises for each one of these hot zones, what I call them, and you'll train your entire body and you'll be done. You don't have to worry about, you know, an exercise for your bicep, an exercise for this. It's kind of an extension of what Alan's book, you know, his new rules of lifting. I think he had five or six movements you should have in every workout. And this is just, you know, it's very similar to that. Here's four areas that you need to train. If you can pick four exercises that get these, you're done your workout. And so again, just those four areas where the upper body pushing muscles, upper body pulling muscles, you know, focusing on the upper back, the abdominals, and then the posterior chain or the lower body. You know, you can either say legs together, or you can say glutes, hamstrings. That's the area that you want to get. And so those are the areas that I worry about when putting together total body workouts. And you can get them done, you know, in two or three lifts or four at the most. Mm-hmm. And abs are even low on the list, because you can get them with the right exercise selection for the other three zones. And then basically think about those three, those training zones when you exercise if you don't have time to get a lot done. And it's simplified, but, you know, sometimes when you simplify things, it confuses some people, because your explanation isn't just as good as it should be. But that's basically it. Just think of, you know, four red areas on the body that need to be trained, and you're training pretty much the entire body, with, of course, the exception of individual needs. You know, if somebody's got an area to rehab or is exceptionally weak in a certain area, then, you know, obviously they're going to get covered in specific exercises that should be done before the main workout. But, you know, you do your body weight warm-up. This is how I'd structure hot zone training. Body weight warm-up, which also follows the hot zone training. So you do something like a squat for the posterior chain, maybe a lunge also for that, just to cover that movement, a push-up, and then an inverted row. And then there you've trained your hot zones and you're ready to go, because your abdominals are working hard in the push-up and inverted rows. Abdominals should be working hard in every exercise. So try and simplify that. And then you go in and you do your main exercises for the hot zone, and then you're done.
Great, good. Is that something that you would recommend to do? Would you recommend someone do the hot zone training for maybe 4 weeks as kind of changing it up, or is that something for someone that...
It's a philosophy you could follow for long term. It's more of a fat loss type and body weight type workout. I mean, you could use it for mass, but the people I have using it for right now and giving it a try out are mostly fat loss oriented. And then we'll probably tweak the workouts from there and then offer it to everybody. But you can get to take a look at it if you're a member of the site right now.
Yeah, if you guys out there, go check it out. I thought it was a really good read, and that's why I had a couple of questions on this. That's why I had to bring it up. And also, the next question is on CrossFit. What's your take on that?
Well, it seems like it's pretty good stuff. I mean, if somebody wants to kick the butt, you know, with a workout, that's, you know, it seems pretty popular. People are loving that stuff, and they got a good thing going for people that want to sweat their brains out and kick their own butts, like I said, in their workouts. A lot of similarities to the turbulence training, but, you know, a lot of differences at the same time. And it's really quite a popular thing.
So, I mean, it's, and again, it's something that I wanted to mention again, but if you could go over what the All Access Pass is and what it includes and how people can get a hold of it, just for people who aren't members of it.
Well, Kevin, obviously it's the greatest thing that's ever been invented.
It is.
It's the All Access Pass, kind of renamed it to Turbulence Training Membership Pass now, just to make it a little more clear. Basically, what it is you get access to all the training programs that I've written and continue to write. Membership Pass is good for 1 year, and I try and update every week with whether it's an article or a program. Lots of programs of clients that are the really successful ones, I try and get up there. Also, something, you know, I always try and get like a major program out every couple of months, like the Bodyweight Manual that came out around January 1st. So when somebody's a member, they get access to everything that that I've created. So, and if you're a previous customer, then you get a pretty steep discount on it, and you can upgrade and get everything. And like, it's basically, it's an endless amount of workouts, because there's workouts in there for everything. I've got some of my elite athlete workouts, lots of my muscle mass workouts, obviously all my fat loss workouts, bodyweight workouts, lots of good stuff. And then I've also started a bit of a advanced training article series going into a bit more of the science stuff that I don't cover in my daily emails on turbulencetraining.com, because it's just, I just don't have the time and space for it. But, you know, if people are really interested in the advanced stuff, then that's where they should go.
Yeah, I think those are just worth the membership right off the bat, just the advanced stuff for people who are just interested in fitness and maybe even going into the field. I just thought that stuff was awesome.
Yeah, and some of the other stuff I have coming out for the All Access Pass, for the membership pass, are going to be a little bit more training. You know, I'm going to focus on some articles and stuff for trainers, and doing a couple presentations this summer, and I'll make sure to get that type of information into the membership pass as well, which again is more advanced stuff that's applicable to trainers and obviously to people that are really interested in advanced training methods that aren't trainers, of course, as well.
That's great, and I know I took advantage of it. I went with Turbulence Training for Fat Loss, I think it was a little bit over a year ago now, and just right after, probably a month later, I had to pick up the All Access Pass. It's just endless amounts of stuff that you can just read, and it's, and like you said, an endless amount of programs. That's pretty
yeah, yeah. The only problem is people get, there's too many things in there, and people aren't sure which one to start with. But you know, if that problem comes up, just give me an email, and we'll straighten you out and get you set up on which one you should start with and progress with and get into your planned program.
That's another question that you kind of brought up for me, is how do you answer all these emails? How do you do it?
No problem, man. I type fast, you know. Grade 10 keyboarding was one of the best classes I ever took, because and then with practice over the years, and it's very simple for me, because a lot of the emails that I get are worthwhile putting into my newsletter, so that you know, that takes care of running a newsletter for a day. Mm-hmm. And you know, if people are listening out there that aren't on the turbulencetraining.com newsletter, it's a daily email, fitness, motivation, exercise tips, success stories, all that sort of stuff that, you know, it's a short read. It's about 500 words a day, and, you know, that's pretty much the feedback on it. So it keeps people on track, you know, the motivation is there, but it also, there's some tips in there. I mean, it's not just a bunch of fluff. It is a serious exercise tip for a day. And a lot of that stuff comes out of the questions that I get from people. And I think if somebody's question is valuable enough for them to write in, and they want an answer from it, and you know, they need help, and they're not succeeding, then I'm going to take the time out of my day to answer it. And you know, I get a lot of my writing done. I ride the subway around here in Toronto a little bit, so I just you know, instead of standing around, I write my emails back on it, and you know, it's easy for me to get that done. So, you know, I welcome the questions that people have.
Yeah, again, I said it before, and I think that that's just great. It's almost like having a personal trainer that's almost available at any time of the day and just a click away. And I just think I honestly have to thank you for that, and I know a lot of people have to thank you for that, just being almost kind of like our own personal trainer.
Well, that's what it comes back to, is that I just want to give people the straight goods and clear up, because a lot of the questions are about confusion, about should I do this, should I do this, I read this, and most of the answers are simple for me to put together, so passing that information on.
All right, sounds good. If you guys haven't checked it out, check it out. Either go to turbulencetraining.com or cbathletics.com. And also, again, we touched on this before, but do you have any programs or articles that are coming out in the next few weeks that the listeners should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up a workout this weekend, a mass training one. My fat loss fusion one was pretty popular, and some people asked for a mass fusion workout, which is basically, the story behind that is the fusion workouts are basically just like a hybrid workout. It's got, Olympic lifts, barbell lifts, dumbbell lifts, bodyweight lifts, and how to combine them all into one workout. So this one's going to be mass-based, and it should be done this weekend. And then I did a bit of a survey. Votes are in for more hardcore fat loss stuff, so I'm going to get lots more of the fat loss workouts up. And the muscle-building ones are always fun for me to put together, and they're in high demand, so I'm going to get some more of those out even after this mass fusion one I'm finishing up this weekend. And bodyweight stuff is always a challenge to come up with, so I have a lot of fun putting those together and coming up with new exercises or finding out other exercises that people have been doing and passing those along, because the bodyweight people are, they're kind of like that CrossFit community. If you're into bodyweight training, you're really into it. So I'm definitely going to get that. And then I've had a couple of requests for some really beginner stuff, for people that can't literally do the stuff that I already have right now, even at the beginner level. So what can these people do? So I'm going to put some research together in that and draw from my experiences and put together some stuff that, personal trainers would be able to use with people that are, literally morbidly obese or have very bad knees and that type of stuff, that really are just limited into the exercise they can do. So I'm going to try and put together some stuff like that.
That sounds great. Everyone should keep a lookout for that. And also, this is kind of a personal question for me, but again, it's from one of the listeners out there that's actually studying fitness right now, and that is, obviously, you've turned studying fitness into a career in fitness. What suggestions do you have for someone like myself who has an interest in fitness and is currently in school?
The biggest thing, and this applies to probably almost all industries, is that you need to network and you need to know a lot of people. The more people you know, more opportunities you're going to have, obviously, provided you put together good work and you're consistent with your work. But just knowing people is, who you know is bigger than what you know. It's not entirely everything, but knowing other trainers, going to the seminars, meeting them, becoming, colleagues of theirs, that is very, very helpful. I mean, that's why you know, what you're doing right now with these FitCasts is very helpful for yourself. But, it's good and bad in that, some people get, see that the old boys network keeps dinosaur strength and conditioning coaches in the professional leagues that are doing training programs that seem just, mindless. But on the other hand, guys like Ryan Lee are having these seminars where the top strength and conditioning and personal trainers are going to look up RyanLeeBootcamp.com. Alan Cosgrove is going to be there speaking. I mean, you can't miss that type of stuff. Getting to meet these guys and getting to meet people with bigger audiences, you get to become friends with them, and then all of a sudden, you can have, you're going to be an expert in these other people's eyes. So you have to get to know the right people, and then when coming back to what you actually know, you need to understand the basics and foundations. You have to be able to use that basics and foundation to understand, just to apply common sense, so that you understand why every training program is as it is, what stuff is worthwhile keeping. Alan always uses that Bruce Lee phrase, I forget what it is, but it's along the lines of keep what is worthwhile and discard what is useless. Mm-hmm. And if you know what really matters, then you won't bounce around among training philosophies. You won't get hooked on stuff that sounds good but is just more show and no go. And if you can keep that aspect of it as simple as possible, then you can put some of your time into these other things like the networking and building your career in fitness. But I mean, obviously, it just comes down to integrity, delivering what you promise, and you know, just be a good person, be yourself, and be friendly, and you know, work hard. Some real basic stuff, and that is what it's all about.
Everything you said makes sense, and I thank you for going in depth on that for me and for the listeners out there.
No problem.
And that pretty much wraps it up for the 101 with Craig. Is there anything else you wanted to include?
Just everyone keep it simple. We all know what we need to eat. We need to eat fruits and vegetables and lean proteins, and you know, we shouldn't eat too much stuff that's in a bag or a box, and we should eat organic as often as possible. And if you want to gain mass, you want to lift heavy weights and in enough volume. And if you want to lose body fat, then you need to burn more calories than you take in. And, you know, those are the simple rules. And then once you make sure you're 100% with the simple stuff, then you can start getting a little tricky. Other than that, you know what? Everyone just, you know, remember that health and fitness lifestyle can be a very easy lifestyle to follow.
I thank you so much, Craig. I thank you so much for your time and just
no problem.
Helping me get this together, and I'm sure the listeners appreciate it as well. Craig, how can people take a look at your stuff and get a hold of you?
Kevin, I have four websites that I want to share with everybody. The first is turbulencetraining.com, and that is my fat loss and body composition and health and fitness lifestyle daily email. That you'll get when you sign up at turbulencetraining.com. So that's TURBULENCE training.com. So just like turbulence in an airplane. Mm-hmm. And my other website is cbathletics.com. That is for coaches and trainers mostly. That's the more advanced training interviews that I do with other strength coaches and trainers. And then Girl Athlete, it's spelled a little bit differently, grrlathlete.com. And that is our female-specific training information site. So there's some stuff for fat loss for women. There's some stuff for athletic performance for female athletes, young and old, and even some running information for women, and bodybuilding information and powerlifting information for women. And then finally, undergroundnutrition.com, and sometimes I'll throw up some bodybuilding articles for my friends who run undergroundnutrition.com. So I don't own that one, but sometimes I, you know, just for fun, I'll write some bodybuilding articles up on Underground Nutrition for their newsletter. And that's it. Thanks, Kevin.
That's great. Everyone should check those out, and I'll also put links for those websites up on the main site for thefitcast.com. You can check it out in the show notes at the end of this episode.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks.